He says, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, this refers to the death of the generation of the wilderness throughout the 40-year sojourn.
That's exactly what we just said, right? Okay, that's exactly what. That's exactly what we just said. That was the first thing that I suggested. But I'm surprised that that's called a dever. Now you wouldn't call it a dever. What happened? What happened? Those during the 40 years, every year on Tisha B'av, everyone went into a grave. Everyone dug for themselves a grave. They went into the grave on the night of Tisha B'av, and about 15,000 people did not come up from the grave every single year. In the beginning of this week's parasha, the beginning of this story, Rashi tells us that this event is taking place after all the people died. It says Kol Ha'eda. Kol Ha'eda means those, there was already year 39. Year 39 or year 40, whichever year what it was, when all of the people that were meant to die stopped dying. After they complained to Hashem about Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, in punishment for your sin, no one here is going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to wander in the desert for 40 years, and during those 40 years, every male over the age of 20 will die, except for Shevet Levi. And then at the very end, Hashem forgave about 15,000 people, and they did not die. And of course, not the women and children. Anyone that had to be older than 20 years old died for the next 40 years on the night of Tisha B'Av, except for 15,000 people, and except for Shevet Levi, and except for the women and anyone that was below the age of 20 at the time of when they complained to Hashem about Eretz Yisrael. That punishment, we learned last week, was a double punishment. It wasn't just a punishment for complaining about Eretz Yisrael. It was also a punishment for the Chet HaEgel. And Rashi said when the Jewish people, they worshiped the Egel, Hashem really wanted to destroy them right then and there. But Hashem put a pause. I'm not going to harm you. Then when they worshiped, then they complained about Eretz Yisrael. So now it was not only am I going to punish you now for complaining about Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to punish you also for the worshipping of the eagle. And they all died during these 40 years. So what you're calling me from the Rabbeinu Bachya, obviously the Rabbeinu Bachya has to make this comment, obviously it's not so simple. Rabbeinu Bachya is telling us a very big chiddush, I've never heard this before, is that the form of death that the people died during these 40 years was called a dever, was called a plague. That's a tremendous chiddush to me, because when a person goes into his coffin and he lies down and just doesn't wake up in the morning, it seems pretty good. It seems like a nice way to depart. Doesn't seem like there's much pain and torture. When we hear about a dever, a plague going on, we think about corona. Corona is a dever. No, I don't know, man. I don't know what a dever is exactly. People had a torturous death. Okay, they didn't leave this world so easily. It was a gradual process, and there was a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. People had all different types of problems. That's not a simple dever. It would appear that people lying down in the grave and going to sleep and not waking up was not what we in our vocabulary would call a dever. But you tell me there, Rabbeinu Bachya, that's what it was. Okay, fine. So here they say, Halava Bigvacheinu. So over here the word Bigva means the type of death of our brethren. What does it mean? Benisas Acheinu Badever. The death of our brethren that is called Dever. Lime, this teaches us, Shemisas Soma Biguna Mimena. The Misa of thirst is even worse than the Misa of Dever. Dying of thirst is the worst. Bigva means the type of death, which is a form of death. That's what it means by B'Shem Dovar, who came out B'Misa Sachenu, V'lo Yitochid L'Farsho Kishamesu, does not mean when they died. Kishamesu Achenu, Sh'im Keinu Hoi Lo Lihinoke B'Gvoya. Okay, so this is Rashi. Let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Gimel over here says they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Unitzah, they fought, they quarreled. Vayarev means they quarreled. Hama, the people, Imoshe, V'Amaru L'Meimara, and they said as follows, Levei, Levei seemingly means halavai. If only dimesna, we would have died. Bimosa, the death. Da achana, the death of our brethren, kodam Hashem. So notice that the Targum translates the word bigva to mean bimesna, death. Now let's see what it says over here on the side. First he takes note of the word unitsa. Unitsa means they quarreled. Lashon riv, kalashna kasav, yinatsa nashem. Fine. Levei means halavai. V'chein hu b'Rashi. Rashi shamila lu perusha halavai. If only. Ayim ashakos av la'el. Okay, isn't it interesting the word Levi? Levi in Hebrew means a Levi means It means, you know, Sheva Levi, person who's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Levim, they are an adjunct. What is Apam Yilove Ishi Olai? Now, my husband will be joined to me, Ki Yolad Tiloi Shloisha Bonim. Reuven Shimon Levi, after Leah gave birth to her third child, she said, now my husband will be attached to me because I gave him three children. So in Hebrew, the word is Levi, Levoi. In Aramaic, those same three letters mean if only something that I'm yearning for. Is there a connection between the Hebrew form and the English form to be attached? And if only, I don't know. Next, now it says over here, the Mesna, Targum Shegavanu, V'chein Perish Rashi, B'mosa, B'hamoves, K'rashi Shabil, B'begvash, and Dover. It's a description. It's not an event. Shem Hoye Mekar, Hoye Tzach Linoket B'gvoyaf. Mekar means it's a verb. When it says the word Mekar, Mekar in the grammar of Rashi means a verb. It's not then it's a B'gvoyaf. Aval, but look at this, we have a machlokes, betargum Yoinasan ben Uziel, perish kad mesu. Wow. When they died. Kasher mesu. Oh, if that's the case, so the vowelization is not correct. It should say ki gvoya, not like what we have in our chumashim. V'nir shumafarish begva ki ibn ezra shahu mekor, it's a verb. Very, very interesting. We have over here some significant machlokes over here in this word. We at least take out that both Rashi and Unkelitz agree that the word bigva means belu govanu. If only we perished bigva, if only we would have perished in this, Rashi and Unkelus agree, if only we would have perished bigva with the same type of death that our brethren died. Our brethren, they went into their graves and the next day they did not come out of their graves. We're not so lucky. We are going to have to suffer to get out of this world. We are going to have to feel the pain of dehydration, of thirst, and we're going to die from that. That is a torturous death. That's the way Rashi and the Mitzudas David learn. Rashi and Unkelus learn. However, the Ibn Ezra and the Targum Yonas ben Uziel have a different translation. The Lugavad, if only we would have perished, Bigva, at the time of the perishment, is that the correct English word, such a word? At the time, Bigva Achenu Halavai, we would have died together with our brethren when they died. Halavai, on that fateful night when our brethren went into their grave and did not wake up, if only it would have been that we would have died together with them at that time during the 40 years. Because if we would have died dead, we would have died in peace. We would have gone to sleep, we would not have woken up. But now we're going to die the torturous death from thirst. So either the word bigva is describing the type of death, or it's describing the moment of death, when they died, the event, at that event. Okay, that's the whole, who appears to be correct? Well, Rashi says clearly that Yutargum Yodis Ben Uziel is incorrect, because then it's not the correct way to pronounce the word. Instead of bigva, it should be bigvoya. And the Pasuk says bigva. But obviously the Targum Yodis Ben Uziel and Ibn Ezra disagrees, and they hold that the word bigva, although the vowels are put in place the way they are, that does not affect what the pasuk really means to say. Okay,
sick and thirsty now.
Yes, they're thirsty. They well, I don't know if they're thirsty at this moment, but it says over here they went. But the cover shrub, it says velo hoya mayim lo eda. There is no water. So obviously they're very thirsty. Houston, we got a problem. There is no water. There is no water on the moon.
That itself is strange. I mean, why would all of a sudden the water be cut off?
Because Miriam died. Isn't that what we just said?
I understand that, but it's like, you know, is a parent that all of a sudden not going to give their child a bottle anymore?
Happens all the time. It happens all the time. Yeah, that's what happened.
God is considered the parent. We're the children. So what? Without saying a word, he said, "Okay, the bear is gone, but we're gonna."
Mark, you sound like you sound like the which rebbe? You sound like a rebbe. Like a rebbe, the rebbe says, "Ribbono shel olam, this is what you do to your children? You shut off the water? What kind are you doing? Like I can see the bar ditcheva. You sound like the bar ditcheva. You say Ribbono shel olam, what are you doing over here? You just shut off the water? Where are your children? Well, since when does a parent take away the bottle from the baby? Mark, you're good. You're really good, Mark. You're hired. You're gonna be the defender of the Jewish people."
Yeah, as we're talking about, I'm getting confused. Yeah,
no, you're saying maybe you have a very holy attitude towards the Holy Spirit. You're saying very good. You're saying Gvaldik. How dare Hashem take away our water? Basic sustenance. You're saying good. I hear what you're saying. Look, you know, I'll tell you, I'll prove to you that you're saying very good. Because we have a question. Why we have a holiday to commemorate the Sukkos. The Anane HaKavod. Why don't we have a holiday to celebrate, to commemorate the Mon? Why don't we have a holiday to commemorate the Mayim? Why is it only a holiday to commemorate the Sukkos in the desert? There were three Parnasim Tovim Amdulam Yisrael. One, in one Sukkos we have water, in one Sukkos we have Mon, and in the other Sukkos we have the Anani HaKavod. So why do we only have a festival to commemorate the Anani HaKavod? We don't have a festival to commemorate the Mon and the Mayim. And the answer given is exactly what you said, because if Hashem took us out of Egypt and told us to go into the desert, it is His duty. It's your duty, your obligation to give us bread and water. But it's not Hashem's duty to put us up in a 5-star hotel. That's not His obligation. Hashem, we could have went and sat in tents in the desert. We'll set up some shmatas, like what the Arabs do, and we'll set up some tents. Hashem will give us food and water, good enough. So it's a little cold, a little hot, and there's some sandstorms. You'll survive, don't worry. You're not going anywhere, you'll survive. Hashem put us up for 40 years in a 5-star hotel. Anane HaKavod. That Hashem did not need to do, and it is for that we have an obligation to show HaKaris HaTov by having a festival to commemorate this miraculous event. So you're saying very, very good. You're saying something that's very, very true, but yet this is what happened. All of a sudden, the water, you're asking a very good question. Just like we don't have a festival to commemorate the Mayim, because it's basically because Kosh Baruch has no choice. Yeah, that's His duty to us. So too, why then did Hashem stop the water? Okay, good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Hashem wanted us to be mispalo. All right, let's see. Now we go further in their complaint. Yes.
We follow up on Mark's remark. And if the Jews were very faithful, so they would have died?
Say it again?
Yeah.
Say it again?
If they would have been very faithful, not complained, so what would have happened? They would have died in the desert?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. You're asking very good questions. I don't know. I don't know what would have happened. Let's say they did not complain.
Everything will be okay.
It would seem that if they would not have complained, the water would have come back. It would seem on a very simple level is that Hashem just wanted to let them know in whose merit did they have water these 40 years. Miriam dies, the water stops. You should be aware of you to know the big secret. Miriam hid her greatness for these 40 years, and it was only in her merit there was water. You should know. And when the Jewish people, when it would sink into their minds the merit of Miriam, how great she was, maybe they would eulogize her. Maybe they would make a memorial for her. They would do something for her. They would sponsor a shir in her honor. They would buy new sidurim for everyone in the midbar. They would do something in honor of her. Then immediately the water would come back, immediately, even better than ever. Hashem, He is being toiveya. You have to know, and it seems like they didn't really appreciate it, and therefore it spiraled out of control. Yes, a good question. Okay, let's see. That passage here, the complaint goes even more. The people are still complaining. The Lama, why have Sem Eskahal Hashem? Why did you bring the assembly of Hashem El Hamidbar Hazeh to this desert? La Musham, to die there, Anachnu, us, Uvi, Reinu, and our animals. Okay, they continue to complain. Pasuk Dal and Rashi. Rashi
well,
says,
God is not offering seemingly a solution to them. You know, children, this is not the way you're supposed to act. This is what you should be doing. Get a shovel and dig. Or, you know.
You're right.
Or make your mud into a mold. You know, I'm very confused with this now. You know, you grow up one way thinking about it, and you just go on, and now I'm getting confused.
Good. That's you're learning on a much deeper level. That's right. So you have a much greater appreciation.
God should be offering. Moshe should be offering. So this is what you should be doing. Stop complaining, and this is what you should be doing.
You should appreciate what you should. You should appreciate what you have. That's right. Exactly.
I'm trying to relate it to how we're supposed to behave. It does at any time that we live. Something's not going correct. So what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to pray, but not complain. There's a difference between being mispalo versus complaining. Here it says, it's you make a good point. Over here it says vayoref. Vayoref is a very ugly word. Vayoref means they complained. Unitzah. See, on the retired, unitzah means nitzavim likrosa. They were fighting. They were fighting. They wanted to lodge a complaint against Hashem. They were nasty, plain, simple. It was an ugly response. There is a dignified way to respond, and there is an undignified way to respond.
Seemingly, this is everybody, not just one group.
It says ha'om. You see, there are many different terms. There are many different terms that are used in Chazal. Some will tell you that ha'om refers to the erev raf. Every time it says the word ha'am means Arab. Sometimes it says Beis Yisrael. Sometimes it says Kol Yisrael. Sometimes it says Yisrael. You have to be medayik every time. There's no question that many times there are commentators that understand that every time it says the word ha'am, ha'am is a code word for one very specific group, namely the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav are the ones who complain. If that's the case, why should everyone suffer? The answer is, it was tolerance. We say this over many, many times. We have a few people who do an Avera, and society tolerates it. Look at America. In America, how many people really believe in some of these crazy, crazy policies that have been enacted in this last year? This cancel culture, this pronoun garbage, and this critical race theory, race curriculum. I mean, this stuff is the bottom of the barrel.
The masses are just puppets.
And the masses go along with this? There's no uprising?
Really, that's answering the question of the ages. We always ask, how did this one dictator or how did a few big guys get everybody to follow along? Here's the answer. Whether it's the Holocaust, whether it's the Crusades, or the guy on the street. Maybe he said, I'm not going getting involved with this, but what are they supposed to do? Give up their lives? Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. But you can't convince me that in this country, no matter how low this country is, the policies that have been put into place in the last couple of New York City, for the mayor to go and say, we're going to defund the police department by $1 billion.
Horrible.
What?
Horrible.
Really, you're going to tell me there are 8 million people who live in New York City. Are you really going to tell me that the majority of 8 million people want to defund the police department? You really gonna convince that to me? So how many people want to defund the police department? Maybe 1,000? 1,000 people? Not even 1,000. So 8 million people have to suffer. So how does this work? I don't know. So obviously what's going on? What's going on is, I guess it's really true in New York also, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm just a little guy. I'm a little simple person. I don't like making a bit. I don't like opening up my mouth. If 8 million people would call up de Blasio, would send them a letter and say, you Rosh Marusha, you're a murderer, you're a halachic rotzeach, to go and defund the police by $1 billion, so they should come, these vicious, malicious, wicked people just go burn down the whole city and I have to watch my back, then he wouldn't do it. It's because he can get away with it. Someone is telling him to do this. There's something going on that we do not know about, and we don't know what's going on, and we sit back and let him get away with it. We let him do it. That's the story of the world history. So
yes.
Maybe it's true for the Goyim, but it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has by Klal Yisrael higher standards. They have higher standards. If you have here a small group of people, Klal Yisrael is not like the Goyim, we're not like the world. If you have here a few people who get up and with chutzpah, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, halavai, we should have died already. Halavai, halavai, we should have died. And why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? How did these people have the chutzpah to open up their mouth and say the words? The other people in Klal Yisrael should have silenced them. What's going on here? So the fact that they did not silence them means they were all accountable.
You know, it's like, as a parent and you're raising children at different ages and different stages, you get the same pushback from your kids when you punish them with something. After you give them everything, you punish them with something, they're ready to take you apart. That's what parents have to do. But that seems to be the nature of life.
Yeah, but the point over here is the question, the problem here is the tolerance of the other people. Okay, let's see further. They come, there's no rash. Again, they say over here, that's Pasuk Dal. Our animals. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Hey. The next rash is Pasuk Ches. Pasuk says, why did you take us out of Egypt? To bring us, this evil place. There is no seed. Usaina, figs, begefin, vines, rimun, pomegranates, umayim, ayim, lishtois. Look how bad they are. Now when they complain about water, it opens up, it triggers a complaint about everything in life. I have a complaint about the kitchen sink. The kitchen sink is not as nice as I want it to be. What are you complaining about? Vayavoy Moshe, v'aron, v'beikah, hakol, because of the assembly. Okay, notice now that we change words. The one who complained was Vayonef Ha'om. And now it says Vayonef Moshe Aaron B'nei HaKahol. What's going on over here? What changed over here? The Kahol. Maybe the Kahol means everyone else. It means that there's tolerance. People allowed this. People did not object to this complaint. No, you know. Look at the last thing in Obama's. One of the last things that Obama did. One of the last things was. In the United Nations, they issued, I don't remember what happened. Something happened in the world with Eretz Yisrael. There's something that happened, and the Security Council, the United Nations, the Security Council, whoever it was, they censored Israel.
He didn't back down. He didn't just.
And traditionally, every single similar situation like this from the beginning of time, from the time that the United Nations was founded, every single equivalent, even less than this, what happened, equivalent to this exact, the United States always vetoed. The power of veto, they vetoed the censor. They vetoed this edict, whatever it was, whatever it was.
Resolution.
And for the first time in the history of the United Nations, America did not. Obama gave the command, we will not veto this resolution. So when Israel gets upset, who is Israel upset at? If Israel would have taken action, will they take action against all of the members of the council who formulated and voiced the resolution, or will they take action because of America, because of Obama, United States? It's Obama. That's who they're upset at. They're not upset at the council, because the council, nothing new. This is old news. They've been doing this for 75 years. All these nations, there's nothing new. This is the same thing. What happened now different? It was tolerated. America was silent. Shtoik. He let it go through. He let it go through. Quiet. So who do they react to? Not to the Am, they act to the Kahol. You see over here, who came to complain? The one that came to complain was the Ha'om. These are the troublemakers. No, what else? They're always troublemakers. You have a class in yeshiva that's always going to be a troublemaker. No matter how careful you are to who you accept into the yeshiva, you're always going to have a troublemaker. Or give agmas nefesh to the yeshiva. So what do? You deal with him. What happened now? It's not the troublemaker that Moshe is upset about. It's everyone else who this time is tolerating the troublemaker. Mark, you hear what I'm saying over here?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, let's go further. Now, El Pesach al Moed, Vayiplu al Paneim, Tachanun. Rabbi Yisai, we're going to say Tachanun today. Vayiroch void Hashem aleihem, and Hashem appears. Pasuk Zayin. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe leimor, kach es hamateh. So now he's come to the Nehem River. Now comes a very bad event. Hashem says to Moshe, listen, they want water. Gesundheit. We'll give them water. Oh, look at this, a new word. Mark had given me Torah for Friday. New word, ho'eda. We start with the Am. We go to the Kahal. And now we're up to the Eda. What's going on over here, Mark? Three different terms of Klal Yisrael. Gather Eda. I tell you, the Adon Achicha, your brother, v'dibartem el ha'selah, you shall speak to the rock, l'enehem, in front of their eyes. V'nosan me'mavam, the selah will give forth its water, v'hoitzeisel, ha'mayim in ha'selah. There are two words over here, there are two expressions over here, very difficult. First it says, v'nosan, it will give me'mav its water. And then there's repetition. V'hoitzeisel, you, Moshe, you will bring forth lohem to them, mayim in ha'selah. Wait a minute, who's getting the water? First it says, v'nosan me'mav, that the rock will give forth its water. The rock is the one that's going to get the Nobel Prize for peace, for giving water. And then it says, you, Moshe, v'yitzeis lohemayim min ha'selah. V'yishkiso es ha'eda, you will then give to drink the assembly. Oh, now we have an eda, v'esbiron. So he's gathering, this eda, the eda, and you'll give forth the eda, and their animals. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi v'yesbiron mikan shechos ha'lashbarcho al b'moinam shel Yisrael. Isn't it amazing, Rashi, over here? I mean, there's no other place to find a Rashi like this. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion upon the money. This is the pasuk that tells us Hashem has compassion on the b'moinam shel Yisrael. I mean, there, everything Hashem did was for the b'moinam. We had bizas mitzuyam, bizas mitzrayim, Hashem the siblascha levolso me'olecha, ranchu lebotzeka. I mean, you want to go through the psukim and the medayik where Hashem has rachmanis upon our property? All of a sudden, there's vira mikan shechos hakadosh baruch hu al memoinim shel Yisrael. Okay, it's a very refreshing thing, Mark. The people shall parnasa. Yeah, so I'm going to give to you're going to give to drink the eda and their animals. Let's see the Targum. Targum of the Apostle says, "V'nesev Moshe yos chutra." I'm sorry, Apostle Ches, I skipped. Saf. What does sav mean? Sav means kach, take. Yos chutra, take the stick. Uchanosh and gather yos kinishta, that's the eda. At, you know, notice he translates word kinishta the same way he translated above. When we started today, what do we say? Vayarev ha'om. Pasuk give vayarev, no, it's not the same way. I'm saying, take it back. Unitsa amo, look how the Targum translates the word ha'om is amo. And when he came to the kahal, what did it say?
Kahal.
The Kahal, we had it with this, the third way, Meha Kahol. Pasuk Vav, we didn't even do that. Min Kodom Kaholah. Okay, so he translates exactly the same way. Okay, let's leave with that, fine. Back to Pasuk, back into the Targum. Sav, take. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong. Sav Yos Chut. I'm reading Pasuk over here in Pasuk Ches. Sav means take. Yos Chutra, the stick, uchanosh, gather, yos kinishta, you, the assembly, at you, the Adon, achuchi, brother, usim malalun, and you shall speak in kefa, with the rock. The word kefa means the rock, le'enehon, in their presence, v'yitein mohi, it will give water, v'sapeklon, you also will give to them, maya, min kefa, the rock, Visashke, you will give to drink Yos Kinishta, the assembly, the Yos Beirhoin. So here he changes the translation. In the beginning, It's always Kinnishar. The Kinnishtoi, the Yas, be returned their animals. Okay, so far it seems pretty innocent, what the Targum says. And let's see what the Ma'atzari says over here, if he makes any trouble here. Ma'atzari Pasik Ches, let's jump down here towards the bottom. Mohi. What does it mean, Mohi? Mohi means the water. Now he writes over here, V'loi Tirgem Mi Mohi. Elsewhere, the Targum always translates the word Mayim to mean Mimohi. The Yesh Lefarish Mohi Hu Lashon Yachid, Bahamila Mayim, Ba Gam Lashon Yachid, Ayin the Ibn Ezra. This is one of his favorite things he likes to talk about, and one of the more complicated parts of the Targum, that is the grammar from Lashon Yachid to Lashon Rabim. We stay away from that. Okay, let's go further. Next pasuk. Just finish up over here a little bit more. Almost time is almost up. Pasuk test. Vayikach Moshe samate. Moshe took the mate. Milifnei Hashem kasher tzivohu. Pasuk yud. Vayakilu he gathered. Moshe v'yarnes hakohol el pnei hasola to the rock. Vayoymer lohem, and he said to them, Shimuno hamor, rebellious people. Hamanasel azed otzi lochem moyim. Okay, there's one more word on the next page. From this cell, am I going to give you water? Do you really think it's possible? Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayakilu ze echad min ha-mekoyma shehechzik mu'ot es ha-meruba." Here, remember what Hashem said to Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, "I want you to speak to the rock le'einehem." Now, you ever go to a wedding and they call up the witnesses, Mechubed, Mark, Plotnik, Eidei Kedushin, and a blazer with Eidei Kedushin, like blazer Bachi. With Eidei Kedushin, okay, and they call you up, does anyone else have the ability to see the Kedushin besides the witnesses? Not really. It's very crowded up there under the chuppah. You have 20 photographers, and you have 25 people taking video, and you have the mother of the bride, you have the father of the chassan, and you have the mesader Kedushin. It looks to me like there's a major violation of social distancing taking place up there under the chuppah. What do they do during Corona? How do the people get married? How do they do the Kedushin? When you do the Kedushin, it's always so crowded under the chuppah. How did people get married this past year? How? This is a blatant violation of social distancing rules. Even the backyard weddings, the outdoor backyard weddings were all... The Maisa Kedushin is a blatant violation of social distancing. Dina de Malchusa Dina. How do you explain this? What's going on? In any event, there's no room to see very much. And yet here, 3 million people were able to see Moshe Rabbeinu speak to the rock and then later, unfortunately, hit the rock and the water came out of the rock. How is that possible? Today you'll say, big deal, we have video cameras, and we have television screens, and we have all different types of devices that you can hold in your hand, you can watch exactly what's going on the other end of the world. So today it's no big deal, right? Today, we're in the 21st century, so there was a video camera showing the whole world what's going on. The whole world can be watching at the same time, okay? You know, in America, when they played, I told you this, when they played the I Love Lucy episodes, do you know that the water pressure, it was so dangerous in America, in the whole America, the water pressure and all the pipes, because there was no one in the whole America flushing the toilet during the showing that half an hour when they had on television I Love Lucy. The episodes when they had on television, can you imagine such a thing? They broadcast on television these episodes. The whole country was totally obsessed with these episodes, and no one went to the bathroom from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. I'm not joking. No one went to the bathroom from 7:30 to 8 o'clock because everyone was glued to the screen. The water pressure in the pipes was normally, you know, people are flushing the toilet. No one was flushing the toilet during that half an hour. Everyone was glued. So today we can understand what this means, but how was it able to happen in those days? So Rashi over here says, an incredible ze echad min hamakayma shechzik muad es hameruba. A small little teeny space was a miracle, was able to contain the whole Klal Yisrael. They were able to witness this event that Moshe will speak to the rock and they can all le'ei nehem in front of their eyes. Targum, we'll finish with Targum, u'chenash Moshe v'arom, this is Pasig Yud, he gathered them. Yekal l'kom k'efa v'amal l'choyin shamu kan sor bo naya. Listen, you rebels. Listen, you rebels. From this rock we bring forth water. Okay, let's see what it says over here on the bottom. On the bottom it says over here, it says here, Sor va naya, Loshon me'un, you people who are refuse. So this is a very, we have the word Shimono Hamoyrim. This is a very important targum. This is really a home run targum. When you ask someone, what does it mean the word Hamoyrim? It means you rebellious people. People who rebel. What is the meaning of a rebel? How do you define a rebel? It's a very hard word to translate. The Targum has done us a very big favor, because you know, if you say the word rebel, you can give me many different dimensions of what a rebel is. A person has different ideas. A person has. You can say a person who rebels is a person who has his own agenda. It's not that I refuse what you want. I'd be very happy to accommodate you, but I want more. I want something else. I'm not disobeying a direct order. I have my own agenda. It just happens through that my own agenda interferes with what you want. That's what I would think a rebel is. The Targum says that's not what it means. That's not the meaning of the word Moirim. The word Moirim means Sor Vo Naya. A person who you tell him, do this for me, and he says, no, I will not listen to you. That's a very different translation of the word rebel. Over here we have Ayikalu, Loshon Me'un means to refuse. Hamila Hamarim Loshon HaKasav Loshon Meri. The Chaim Perish Rashi Sarbonim, so he says that Rashi also elsewhere. Rashi doesn't say anything over here about this, but that's what it means. Rashi also elsewhere says this. I always heard some once in a while I lay on Shabbos, and the place where we behind the bima, there's not much space behind the bima of the first table. So when they do Hagba Galila, so I always tell the guy, you know, we have to do the Haftarah. I tell the Donu Dos Hagba after you finish, I trust in a very polite, delicate way, please, after you finish, please move. I set up the chair on the side next to him. Can you please move over? Can you please sit in this chair? Now, the reason why I tell him is really there are two reasons. Number one, lechatchilo, he's supposed to, because I should not put my back when we read the haftarah to him. Number two, there's no room. It's claustrophobic. The guy, you know, there's just no room. We're tripping on each other. I don't want to trip on the guy. So 90% of the time, the person I say this to, the very, Of course. They follow orders. But it happened this past Shabbos, and it happened one week, always sticks out of my mind. The person says to me, no, I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. No. Like that. No. I don't care what you want. I don't care what the halacha is. I don't care how much you... No. Okay, I'm not going to fight with you. You don't want to move. I'm not going to move. Sometimes the guys say to me, why? Why? So I explained, there's no room here. I want to step on you. I want to be a halacha. You know, you're not supposed to put your back to the one who has the Sefer Torah. So that's what many shuls do. And sometimes, most of the time, they just blindly obey, like sheep to the slaughter. I tell them, blindly obey. I was like, no, I have to know why. And one guy just says to me, no. This pair of Shabbos had a different experience, where I told the guy in a very nice way, and I know this guy very well, this guy's one of my friends, in fact, I really like this guy. And he basically said to me, no, but I'll accommodate you my way. And what he basically did was, he pushed his chair like, he did something funny, like he pulled his chair all the way back in the aisle, like on the side. Like, I told him, please sit here. I have a chair right set up for you, right on the side. No, I'll do it my way. Okay, so that is called a merry, rebellious. Shimuna Hamoidim. Because if I give you orders and you say no, that's called a rebel. There are many different definitions of rebelliousness. You can go and give you a whole go encyclopedia of what does it mean to be a rebel. Rashi is very specific. It means, he's saying over here from the Targum, Targum is doing us a favor. Sor vonaya. That means to refuse. I give you direct orders and you refuse to obey. It's being passive. Let that in those bother me. Ordinarily, when you hear of a rebel, you think of a person who's on the offensive. Isn't that what you normally think? This fellow is on the offensive. He's destroying the country. He's on a crusade to destroy every policy, every good thing about this country, on a crusade to destroy it. No, that's not a rebel. That's not the right word. A rebel means I give you direct orders and you just ignore my orders. You refuse to obey. It's passive. Passive resistance. That's the type of rebelliousness. All right, Rabbi Yitzhak, thank you so much for coming and learning with me. I'm going to stop over here, Mishnah, tomorrow morning, 9:30. And tomorrow night we learn Siddur. Okay, we learn the Siddur. We go to the next bracha. Hashiva Shavtenu Kovari Shaina. That's what we're up to. Mishnah, tomorrow night. Thank you very much. Zayin Gizon. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night. I'm going to go to Mincha now.
Mr. and Ms. Glatter, how are you? How are the Glatters?
Unmute, now he can hear you. Okay.
Shalom Aleichem, how are you?
Yeah, see, he didn't know he was new.
All right, it's good, it's fine. Okay, it's good to see your presence. To know of your presence. All right, have a good night. Thank you for coming. Good night, be well. Thank you.